But tonight, for a few moments, I'd like for us to look into Isaiah chapter 33. I actually read a message from Gail F. Lewis, who was the general superintendent, 1952-1953, where he wrote a message or preached a message, and it ended up being in print, about the Lord's consuming fire and the presence of God's fire and the Spirit-led life of the believer. And I began to see things in this chapter that I thought I'd never seen before. And so tonight, really a couple of verses to start with. One verse to start with is verse 2, Isaiah 33, verse 2. So even in the midst of waiting for God to move upon the people who were going through the judgment of the Lord, in their case of Israel, of seeing that they had drifted from God, and for them, they just needed God so much to show them that He still cared for them. And verse 2 is where they prayed, "O Lord." And Isaiah is sharing their prayer, "O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for You." You know, the graciousness of God is what our hearts were tugging at God for a few minutes ago tonight as we were praying for the Lord's touch upon the pastor that we're going to have, the senior pastor, that it will be out of the graciousness of the Lord was what we sensed in our hearts a few minutes ago. We long for You, Lord. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. And then down to verse 5. So Isaiah sees now the Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. Look at the dwelling of God, not just moving around here and there. Look at God dwelling where He does and being unshaken. The great and mighty God that's willing to say, "I will be your God because of my covenant relationship with You through the death and resurrection of my Son, Jesus the Christ. I am your God." This God dwells on high. He will fill Zion, or He will fill the children of Abraham by faith, those who are believers in Jesus Christ. He will fill with justice and righteousness. And yes, some of this, of course, is as Isaiah sees what God is going to do in the future. We'll look at some of that through these verses. But a fullness from the Lord for His people of what is just and right. He will be the sure foundation for your times. God knows our times. God sees us in the relevance of the past and the future where we are right now in our time. And in that sense, it gives us a great peace, a great assurance, a great sense of purpose and destiny in the Lord's plans for us, that He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. There's something about the richness of the Lord, the abundance in God, no shortage in God. In our salvation, in wisdom, in knowledge for us, as we're praying for the search committee, in their wisdom, in their knowledge, it says that He will be a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Ah, now that is some statement, isn't it? The treasure of what He's just been enumerating has a key to it. And it is the fear of the Lord. Those who tremble at God's word. Those who listen to the Lord's word. Those who have a reverence and a respect for whatever God wants. Oh God, deliver us from being glib or lukewarm about what God is saying and doing. Oh God, let me hear clearly from Your heart what You're saying. Let me hear Sunday when the speakers speak, that they may speak the word from God. Let me hear, Lord, your heartbeat for what you want now and in my life and in my desires and in my vision, in my hope, in my steadfastness, God. Let it be because I am hearing from the Lord, receiving from the Lord this treasure of the foundation, the salvation, the wisdom, the knowledge of the Lord. I looked back at the previous chapter, beginning at verse 15, because again, Isaiah was seeing something that's going to happen by the move of the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 15, till the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream, letting your cattle and donkeys range free. Well, it's just like the Lord's taking all the boundaries away and saying, you just be faithful to me. The day is coming when there will be such freedom and liberty in your fruitfulness, in your quietness and peace and confidence and security and rest. And yes, some of that God can be saying will come when the Lord comes back to rule upon the earth. But some of that is also in the place of the believer. In the hospital the last 2 or 3 days, the scripture that has stood out to me so much was right there in Psalm 62, where it says, and where I read it in those hospital rooms, my soul finds rest in God alone. Don't you feel that? I don't know, that just goes deep in my spirit. My soul finds rest in God alone. If there's a jumbled up mess of something that hasn't sorted itself out yet in your mind or your plans or what you had hoped for, my soul finds rest in God alone. Oh, that wouldn't be in the book if you couldn't have it. It's there because God says it. And there's rest and assurance in the presence of the Lord and your walk with the Lord. Closing with these verses 14 to 17 in the 33rd chapter. So here he gets to the burning, the consuming fire of the Lord. Verse 14, the sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? And then it begins to say, who can? Because if anything, God's burning and God's fire is to consume out of us anything that keeps us from seeing the Lord, seeing His will, being in relationship with Him, loving Him, walking in His peace, walking in His assurance. And verse 15 begins to talk about it. He who walks righteously can dwell with that everlasting burning. He who speaks what is right. So now he's already said how you're walking, and now he's saying how you're talking. The person who speaks what is right, that person is not telling anything that's not true. That person is saying things that are helpful. That person is not saying things that just tear down something. That person is saying things that build up. Edifying is one way the King James Version in English in 1 Corinthians puts it. Speak those things that are edifying, upbuilding, strengthening. The person who speaks what is right. The person who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes. That's the person who can dwell with God's consuming fire at work in their lives. Oh, sometimes I just say to the Lord, Lord, whatever will make me fruitful and productive. Lord, chasten me, correct me, purge me, cleanse me, rebuke me, chasten me, anything that it takes. I don't like to pray that prayer, but I do it anyway. I don't like to be chastened and corrected and rebuked and all the other stuff that goes into being pruned and made more fruitful. But I like the results. And I have to like the results more than I like the process. And I love for my wife to like me. And I love for my family to feel secure in dad and husband pleasing God and honoring the Lord and wanting the Lord to be the Lord of his life and wanting to be productive and fruitful and pleasing to God. Verse 15 continues, the person who can dwell with God's consuming fire is the one who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. That you will not be tempted to take revenge on anyone for mistreating you. That you will not consider returning evil for evil, but contrariwise, blessing. Oh, God's word is so good to help us live right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 16, this is the man who will dwell, this is the woman who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied. Their water will not fail them. Oh, I love the results. I love the end result. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. Sometimes I feel so guilty of settling for less than wanting to see the Lord more than I want to see anything else. Sometimes I feel so far away from what Moses was like when he said, Lord, just let me see your glory. Overriding everything that was going on with the Israelites and anything that was going on in Moses, Lord, just let me see your glory. Somehow they knew, he knew, if I can just catch a greater glimpse of the Lord, it will really bring about my life being all that God wants it to be. And you are faced with responsibility. You are faced with decisions. You are faced with choices. You are faced with the prospects of what great things can happen in your life and your family. You are faced with great needs. You are faced with great challenges. But you are faced with great opportunity and great vision. And to behold God in his glory, to see the King in his beauty somehow causes something to happen in you that brings his fullness of glory and richness and love and peace and that righteous walk and that speaking right and that earning a living right and not giving in to any temptation that would take you down or block him from your vision. Seeing the King in his beauty and viewing a land that stretches afar. Don't you worry about limitations of what you and I can do or think up or the search committee or anybody else or any of our weaknesses, because it says by the Lord there is a vision for things that are far reaching. Oh, there's still a call to the mission field. There's still a glimpse of what God wants to bring us into until the deeper walk and the greater results and the incurable disease is healed and things that only God can do. There is a place in God that we desire and that we seek and that we daily walk with him towards. And yes, there's a peace and a joy and a contentment, but it doesn't mean we sit still. Doesn't mean we lay back and forget what God has ahead. It just means that, Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we want to see you more clearly. Lord, we want to walk with you more closely. Let's stand together.